afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bringing the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
It's time to get real. It's time to get personal. It's going to get real personal today. Welcome in, everyone, to another week of the Trent Speaks podcast, episode 144, I think it is. I guess I didn't look beforehand like I typically do. And I was just thinking, I have my mic actually up. It's on a mic stand, so I just seems like this is the easiest way to keep my desk decluttered, though there is still a lot of clutter on it. And now I'm thinking, actually, right before I hit record, oh, I should have switched it back to the desktop mic, because I've got pages and pages of notes for today's podcast. I've done a fair amount of research. And you've heard me say this before, that, you know, I've always envisioned the podcast to be something real, to be something personal. It really is truly about sharing the stories of others, but just not just about the stories of others, but also my personal story, things that I'm going through in life as well. You know, over the years, this podcast has become an outlet for me. It's allowed me to share thoughts or things that are on my mind, conversations I've had with you, the listener, or other strangers over the course of the past 143, now 144 episodes. And so, there is no explicit tag on here because it's not explicit material, but I'll be honest with you. This is, like I said at the very top, going to be very deep. It's going to be very personal. It might even feel TMI to you. And if you haven't figured out by the title already, we're talking about infertility today. And I want to take you on a journey, well, on the journey that I'm currently on with infertility. And you might be thinking, well, why? Why is this what you're choosing to talk about on the podcast this week? Where the hell is our guest? Well, the why is for awareness. You see, I don't think that the topic of infertility, specifically male infertility, is talked about enough. I think that there is this feeling of inmasculinity, if that is a word. This feeling of not being masculine. Demasculization. I don't know. But again, this is your forewarning. Stop now if you don't want to go down this path. If you don't want to hear super personal, super deep things. Otherwise, I'm about to dive straight into it all. After I sip on this LaCroix. Yeah, speaking of, someone asked me, like, are you sponsored by LaCroix now? No. But we are restocked back on LaCroix. If you remember, I was out for the past couple of weeks with no LaCroix, no bubbler in the house. Well, we're back, folks. We are back. All right, let's dive in, shall we? Again, you might be thinking, why are we talking about this today? Well, let me take you back in time. Let's hop in our time machine here. All right, anyway. Sorry, that was a time machine in the background kicking into gear. As you can tell, it needs some repair. So let me take you back a year and a half ago. Let me preface this. I already talked to Leanne and I said, hey, do you mind if I talk about infertility on the podcast? And she, of course, gave permission. The reason I asked for permission is because obviously she is also involved in this process. And so being very mindful of the topic and of the her feelings, but she also recognizes that the podcast is an outlet for me to talk about how I'm feeling, to talk about what's on my mind, and why this topic is so important to me. So, with that, I'll take you back about a year and a half when we decided, all right, it's time to start trying to have kids. And for those of you that know me, you know that I have been ready since like 7 years ago. Leanne and I have both kind of been living our own lives in a sense. I had a chance to focus on my career much before she had the opportunity to focus on her career. And so again, though I was ready, Leanne was not completely okay because she was focusing on her career. Again, we were at two very different points in the way that we were kind of ebbing and flowing in our lives. And so about a year and a half ago, we were like, all right, we're both ready. Let's do this thing. And so time has gone by and of course nothing has happened. So we moved last summer, and with that move came finding new doctors and everything, and a friend of ours had suggested a particular doctor. We went to this doctor. Leanne was referred to the OBGYN, and so she, of course, had tests that were ordered for her, and they said, okay, your husband will need to do everything looks like it came back fine for you, and so we'll have your husband do a semen analysis, and we'll go from there with kind of how things look and go from there, I guess. So we do the semen analysis. Mind you, that was a fiasco in and of itself. I won't get into the nitty-gritty, but there's a reason it took 2 weeks to get the results, whereas you'll hear in a moment it only took 2 days to get the results the second time. But after the first time, Leanne finally gets a phone call and she texts me and says, hey, she's at work and texts me and says, hey, I want to talk to you tonight about the results. I'm thinking, okay. So she comes home and tells me essentially very, very nicely and worded it in such a way of, hey, so it came back that you have a low sperm count. So essentially, they need you to ask the PCP to order another semen analysis and give a urology referral. Well, I didn't take it that hard the first time because I'm like, oh, okay, like, yeah, it is what it is, right? Like, it's a test. It came back this one way. Well, here's the deal. This past week, I guess last week, I had to do this second analysis. And on Friday morning, the results came back, and I realized how bad it actually was. because yet again it came back low. And keep in mind, the first time, Leanne merely got a phone call saying, "Yep, it's low. Here are the next steps." Whereas this time, not only did I get a message from my doctor saying it's low, but the lab report itself was attached. Now, let me throw it out there, what you're all thinking, the disclaimer here. Yes, I understand I am not a doctor. I do not have a medical background. So I'm not going to pretend to know that I can fully analyze the results of what was actually on the report. However, I'm also not dumb, and I can figure some things out when it tells you that the red L means below low normal, which let's talk about that for a minute. Below low normal. So that means that in my mind, again, I am no medical expert. I'm no medical report expert or anything. But in my mind, below low normal. If you're thinking to yourself, that's kind of weird. Yeah, it is. That means that there has to be normal. There has to be below normal. And then there has to me, there has to be this third level of below, low, normal. You've got like a normal, low, normal, and then there's below a low normal, which again is like really hard to comprehend and it just makes no sense. But looking at the numbers, of course, you see like what your numbers are and you see what the recommended ranges are. And hell yeah, I was really low in some places. One of them, the percentage was so low that it says if you're at 14% or less, this is on the report, just as a note so you know how to read it. If you're at 14% or less of this particular field, study, whatever it is, I don't remember what the field is. Anyway, if you're at 14% or less, you are at Simba! Oh my gosh, this dog will not get away from my desk. Get off of my desk. If you are at 14% or less, you have decreased fertility. All right. If you're at 4% or less, you are at considerably diminished fertility. Now, I know what that means, and I was at 1%, which makes sense why the doctor said I am at considerably diminished fertility. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Trent, can't they raise these numbers? And they also give you a sperm count number, but I don't fully know or understand how to read it, so I could be completely wrong in my interpretation, but it is like, it is dirt low. I'm not gonna share the number here because, again, I'm no medical expert, but like, seeing those results tore me apart. And it didn't really set in right away. You see, I still had the guff to call the urologist yesterday. Sorry, I'm recording this on Saturday. That's why I said yesterday. So I had the guff to call the urologist and at least get that appointment scheduled, which isn't until middle of May. So let's talk about how specialists are always scheduling out. So it's still 2 months until I even get more answers. But it really just started to hit me harder the second time. And why I think it hit me harder the second time is because the first time it was just, oh, it's low. The second time is, it's low, you're at considerably diminished fertility, and oh, by the way, look at the recommended ranges and where you are actually at and how low it actually is. I broke down and cried probably 2 or 3 times. I was 10 minutes late to a work meeting because I was too busy crying. And it was really all just soaking in. In fact, those of you that know me know that I have a really hard time taking time off from work. I have a really hard time using my PTO when I'm not going somewhere to physically do something. And I know I might just be sitting at home still anyway when I could really just be working. Well, I recognize that that really just effed with me so hard and my focus and everything. And I thought about it more after the fact of like, wow, I guess I really could have continued to probably work. But in that moment, I was like, nope, gotta log off, gotta take a half day. And I'm glad I took some time for myself. I'm glad that even though I probably could have pushed through, I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I took that time for myself. I actually hiked along the lakeshore and I was talking to God. I was asking him, is this some sort of punishment? Did I do something wrong? Why is for someone who wants to be a parent so badly, am I in this situation? There were so many questions, so many things I was thinking about as I sat and watched the waves crash along the rocks, crash along the shoreline. But I still think it was good for me to get out. It was good for me to spend some time playing a video game with a friend of mine. It was good for me to go to an expo with a couple of friends and walk around with them. It was good to come back home last night and video game with a fair number of 4 or 5 other people. It's nice to have other people to talk to. We've talked so many times over the past 143 episodes about finding your support system, finding those people that you can confide in, finding those people that you can always go to no matter what, finding those people that, regardless of the circumstance that you find yourself in, they're there to listen. You don't always need this group of people or this set of friends to necessarily do something for you. It's not that you're seeking some sort of action out of them, but just the fact that you know you have someone who's going to listen to you, who's going to comfort you, who's going to be an ear just for you to vent to. And if you're one of those people listening right now, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you more than you will probably ever know. And so you might be thinking to yourself, Trent, you're probably not thinking this to yourself. I thought that you said you had like papers and stuff in front of you. And you're right, I do. Because I actually wanted to look into this a little bit more myself. Something I told a friend of mine yesterday I would not do. You see, as I was talking to a couple people yesterday, I was surprised by how common this actually is. You see, one of my friends who is in the medical field said, if it makes you feel any better, you're not the first person who sent me semen analysis results in the past week. Another friend told me, actually another two friends told me, they've also heard of people who have had infertility issues. And because of science and everything, we're able to end up having a child. You see, it was very interesting to learn when talking with Leanne that you actually have to have, because someone said to me yesterday, they're like, why can't you just go the science route, like IVF or something? And I said, because you can't just jump to that. I learned that from Leanne. In order for insurance to cover things, you have to follow this, like, I mean, figurative step-by-step process. You have to exhaust all these other options and do all these other things instead of just jumping to this is what we're going to do. I think that's why sometimes it takes people so long to get pregnant when you're working with IVF and that kind of stuff. And so I actually looked it up, and the National Institute of Health has an article called How Common is Male Infertility and What Are Its Causes? And they've got a few different, 7 citations on this article. And so one of the things I thought was interesting is how infertility is defined. And so it's actually, quote, defined clinically in women and men who cannot achieve pregnancy after 1 year of having intercourse without birth control, and in women who have 2 or more failed pregnancies. Also interesting to me were that studies show that after a year of having unprotected sex, those that are unable to conceive is about 15%. And about 10% of couples still have not had a successful pregnancy after 2 years. Typically, 20 to 37%, so a pretty large range actually, are able to conceive in the first 3 months, and that's couples who are younger than the age of 30. And typically they're generally healthy, according to this article. When reading a little bit further, it was interesting to read that infertility issues that are caused by male reproductive issues account for about 1/3 of infertility cases. And in about 10 to 15% of men who are infertile, there is a complete lack of sperm that occurs. And actually, I was reading in the Yale Medicine article about, you know, there are different things that they can do to treat, whether that's medication, repair of some sort of, I think this is a vein, surgery. Let's see, there are 2 other ones on here. Microsurgical fertilization procedures and then assisted reproductive technologies. And that's the last one, I believe, is what I would assume. Well, maybe it's not a last resort. That one is talking about IVF. If there is no evidence or treatable or reversible causes, because you could actually reverse this. So they, I'm very curious because I'm going to the urologist, and if you're not familiar with the urologist, neither was I. They work with functions or disorders of your urinary system, and that does include kidneys, male reproductive organs, uterus, urethra, adrenal gland, urinary bladder. But actually, urological disease, and so again, this isn't just specific toward infertility, but urological disease affects more than 20 million men, women, and children annually, which I thought was really interesting. So I know that there are a number of things, and this is based on conversation with Leanne. This is based on the Yale Medicine article that I was looking at. But there are another number of things that typically you can do to put themselves at a better spot to be more fertile. Of course, not smoking, not excessively drinking alcohol, exposure to heat, reducing that, so not spending time in saunas or hot tubs. also not working with your laptop on your lap. Improving your diet, managing your stress, and then, of course, avoiding drugs are some things that you can do to increase it. But I also want to call out that this is not end all be all. Just because you fix some of that stuff, so just because you are managing your stress, eating well, not drinking excessively, it doesn't mean, oh, you're cured. You see, because according to the Yale Medicine article and some conversation with Leanne, there are risk factors for male infertility. So, for example, undescended testicle and hernia are two of the risk factors that put you in a high risk group for male infertility. Well, sure as shit, guess what surgeries I had at 18 months when I was 18 months, undescended testicle and hernia. And I'm sure the asshole kids, maybe I should have hit the explicit on this, but I'm sure the kids who bullied me and thought it was funny to kick me in the balls growing up or hit me in them, I'm sure that also didn't help. Physical injury to the testicle. That's another one. But yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of things that they can do, a lot of things that they can look at. We'll see what happens. I'm feeling a bit better today, following day of, so Saturday, like I said, is when I'm recording this. This news all came down to me on Friday. Feeling a little bit better. Glad I took time for myself. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to recognize when you just need to focus on yourself and what you need to do. And don't be afraid to do so. I had zero hesitation in messaging my managers and saying, hey, received some personal news and not handling it well. I need to log off early. So make sure that you speak up for yourself and recognize what you need, because you are the only one who is going to be able to recognize that. Funny enough, I'll wrap up with a funny story for you. Of course, I will try to keep you all in the loop as things progress. Again, I won't hear anything more until May, so I probably won't update you until late summer if there is really anything to update on. But thank you for allowing me to share my journey and my story on infertility. I, of course, am hoping that things turn around and that we are able to have a child someday, just because I would love to be a dad. But you know what? God will provide, and whatever his plan is whatever his plan is. And we'll have to just trust him and go from there. Funny story though, which I will say, I still am a little bit creeped out by this. So I record in my back office, and earlier, typically I lock the door. I if I'm home alone, I lock the door, even if I have the dogs with me. Well, I had went and dropped the dogs off to the groomer, came back, and was just getting some stuff ready, cleaning up, doing some things. And I hear a knock on the door, and so I'm like, oh, I wonder who is here. And I hear the door open, and then I hear it close. And you can imagine how much my heart dropped at that. And so I start to walk down the hallway a little bit. I'm like, hello? Can I help you? No answer. I continue to walk. And mind you, the dogs aren't here. It is literally just me, myself, and I. As I very anxiously continue to walk toward the front door, I look out the window and I see the mail truck. And I'm like, oh, it looked like he just got back in his vehicle. Yeah, I still don't know why he had opened the door and put the package inside. But I opened the door, or I didn't open the door. So there's a package laying right at the door. And I'm like, I didn't order anything. My name's on here. Well, I start to open it, and I realized why a sticker on the very front said fondle with care, because it was a giant-sized penis with a leprechaun hat on it, and it said, may your cummies be as lucky as the Irish, or something to that effect. And that gave me a really good laugh. I know who sent it. Thank you, I guess. Do you thank someone for that? I don't know. Thank you. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the love. And let God's will be done, I suppose. I hope you all have a great week. Just want to let you know, I am off next week. I'm taking some time for myself, doing some personal things. But a new episode will be back on March 27th. I look forward to talking to you all in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.